any questions from this morning's topic on cane travel or anything else of that nature, which we might want, people might have had questions that they've thought about?
I think Les has a question.
I've asked him to unmute.
I'm unmuted now.
There you go, sir.
I have a question. I have a talking book from the library, but my hookup for my thumb drive is on the left side of my talking book. When everything is facing me, the speakers and the buttons, my thumb drive hole is on the left. And is this the new ones that are on the right?
No, I've never seen one on the left, so I don't know what you have. But as the machine faces you with the buttons in front, it should be on the right side. So I can't tell you, but the government, I thought, made them all the same, so I don't know.
They're all the same. Do you feel on the other side? Do you feel just a seam? There's nothing on the other side. Is that right, Les?
If the machine is facing me, the speaker, the off and on button, fast forward and everything, there's nothing on my right side. It's on my left side.
The handle,
you know where the off switch is?
The handle is in the front.
In the front. My off and on switch is on my right side facing me. There's nothing on the edge on the right side.
Okay.
All my stuff is on the left side. And I was just wondering if I got a different type of talking book machine or...
I don't think it's a different type. Maybe they do have some where the buttons are on the opposite side. I don't know. You could have one that's the case. But the
maybe it's a difference in the standard and advanced.
Yeah, it could.
And it's not a switch to turn it on. It's a button.
No.
Yes, a button. I mean, I apologize.
Yeah.
But I got mine 16, 17 years ago, and I've upgraded it to last one. I haven't got the brand new one out.
They're new. They're newer than that.
Yeah. I don't think they came out until 2008 or 9.
Okay. I got it in...
So you might have something else then.
No, I got it in... did I say 19? I mean, 20... It was when I started 2017, 2016 when I got it.
Yeah. Then it should be the right one, although I don't, you know. But the buttons should be the same buttons, whether they're on the right side of the machine or the left.
Right.
They're going to do the same thing.
I got mine from New Jersey. I brought it down from New Jersey.
The government issues them to the libraries.
Okay.
So they're made by the federal government. And we borrow them for life. So the libraries issue them, then send them out to the patrons. But they're made by the federal government.
Okay. But if you want, my wife can verify...
I think you just look and see on the machine where your thumb drive slot would be, and it would still be work the same, no matter what side of the machine it's on.
Okay.
You know, there may be a reason why they've made some that way. I don't know, but it could be.
We have two
other
hands.
Okay, no problem. I was just curious.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
We have two other hands raised. We have
Glenn. Okay, Glenn. Yes, good. Okay.
I just asked to unmute.
Yeah, Ruth, I'm just letting you know that I'm here in case
any
questions come this way.
And we want to introduce Glenn because he's been very quiet. He is from Texas, and he is one of our board members, and he has agreed to moderate this session of the break. So if people do have questions, we'll be here to do that too. So just and then you'll speak with Judy this afternoon. So
yes, I'll be on with Judy. Or she thinks I will be anyway.
I think she would be disappointed if you were not.
And Miss Janie also has her hand raised.
Okay.
Hello, it's Janie Degenshine from New Jersey, and I was. This is in reference to Les. I know he said that he had it with the buttons facing him, but my question is: was the handle next to your stomach? Because if it wasn't, and it was flipped the other way, then yes, it would be on the left. The handle should be near your chest. You know what I mean? And then the first button you see on the bottom that's closest to you is the big button that's the play stop button. So maybe that'll help.
Yeah, that could. That could be. Does anybody have questions or comments about this morning? Or
so I just want to start off by saying, first of all, that it's been a good retreat, and I hope everybody has gotten something from it. I missed, earlier this week, I missed some portion of the retreat because I headed off to participate in our democratic activity that comes occasionally, and I went down to participate in early voting. The only reason I mention it is that I hope that everybody who is listening will take the opportunity, if you haven't already, to participate in our democracy. It is important that the voice of blind people be heard through our ballot boxes. So I encourage you to do that. Now, if you have not voted since you lost your eyesight, this is the great time to do it. I would encourage you to try it, to go and do it. Or if you have a write-in ballot, be sure you can get that processed and do all the things that you have to do to make a write-in ballot valid and get it in the mail soon. So it is important that all of us participate in our democracy. Now, we have been sharing tips and techniques all week with each other for accomplishing daily living tasks, such as working in our kitchens and cleaning our dwellings and other things like that. And we've talked about methods to travel about independently and safely with using our long white cane. We have explored using technology to access information. We've also learned about a variety of hobbies, such as origami, so that you can make little towel-like rabbits and the like. So we've explored hobbies that some blind people enjoy. Then we have discussed the purpose and the philosophy of our national organization, the National Federation of the Blind. We've considered reasons for using the word blind. We believe in our organization that it is respectable to be blind, so I hope you come to realize that as well. We told you about NFB Newsline. That is an absolutely great source of information. But the primary theme this week has been the concept that it is important for each of us to maintain control over our own lives to the extent that it's reasonable. I hope that has hit home with each of you. I sincerely hope you have found one or two ideas that might be useful to you and that perhaps you've tried one or two of them. So here we are, we're ready to take questions. And if we don't have any questions, I'll have to start telling stories. No hands up. So did you hear about the two silkworms who were racing each other and they each ended up in a tie?
We do have hands raised.
All right. Yeah, because we go downhill from here.
We have Les.
Go ahead, Les.
I just asked him to unmute. Go ahead, Les.
It's Les from Georgia. I'm answering Jane's question.
Yes.
Yes. My handle is facing my up by my chin and towards my chest. All the push buttons are facing me, and my outlet for the thumb drive is on the left. My next question is, Jane, could we do a FaceTime and I can take a picture of it and show it to you, please?
We don't do pictures.
We can do a FaceTime. Thank you very much.
Next, we have Carol. Actually, it says Carol's iPad. I've asked her to unmute.
Are you ready, Carol?
She's not unmuting. We have there Vincent.
It may take a bit.
Oh, did it work, Carol?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm so glad voting was mentioned. I've had a question. I've done the electronic voting for years in Alabama, and I really enjoy voting that way. It is so easy. But I've heard recently that the ballots for some of these electronic machines are somehow they're different than the regular, quote, normal ballots. I don't know if it's size or what it is, but I don't want my ballot to be detectable as being from a person with a disability because it's different than the other ballots. Has anybody got any comments about this?
Yes, let me comment about that. I don't know how it is in Alabama, but the machines that we use here in Texas are all identical, so that regardless of which machine is used, the ballots would be the same, okay? So now, I don't know if that's true in Alabama, but I'm telling you what it's like in Texas. So that once the vote is cast in Texas, no one can tell whether it was a blind person that cast that ballot or someone else cast that ballot. The difference is that the machine that we use, first of all, it will talk to you audibly, and secondly, you can darken the screen so nobody else can see how you're marking your ballot.
Yeah, ours are that way too.
Okay, so if your machine is identical to your neighbor's machine, to the other neighbor's machine, and so on, the only difference is that the machine you're using will report the ballot to you audibly and you can mark it independently.
Okay, and our situation is that you have either the automark machine or a written ballot.
And, this is Ruth.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi. We've had this problem in Maryland, unfortunately. We used to be able to go to the machine and, you know, do everything electronically. And then in their great wisdom in 2016, or maybe it was 15-16, they said we have to have paper trail. And so what happened then is you could use the machine, but you had then got your card and you had to take it to a scanner, or it would come out as, it would print out your ballot. But the machine that we used had skinnier, longer ballot, because the visual print ballot was wider. They wanted it extra wide so it could, I guess, people could have it on in a visual way. And then we'd take them to the scanner, and that would happen. So we had two different sized ballots. And believe me, we in Maryland here certainly did not want that, because you could tell that it was a blind person voting because your ballot was skinny compared to the other regular ballots.
Well, and I
so we're protesting. Definitely protested. I chose this year to vote valid absentee just because I didn't like, they still have not resolved it. The NFB is putting a suit about it, but you know, the election board is stalling. So we will prevail. You know, I'm sure we will, because you know the NFB, we are not going to give up. But that's been our issue, and we're still
working
on
it. The last time I went to vote, the person at the polling booth handed me a ballot, and she saw, you know, I had a cane. It's pretty obvious I'm blind, but she handed the ballot to me, and I did not realize it was the, quote, written ballot. And it turned out, since they had already handed me the ballot, when I got over to the machine, you know, my husband said, well, you know, she said that you can't get another ballot because they've already handed one out in your name, and it doesn't fit the machine. I was really chagrined. That was my first tip-off in, probably 10 years of voting, that maybe the ballot is different. But I mean, I didn't vote absentee this time. We like to go to the polls because people to see that blind people do this. I like that visibility in the public, and I like the energy at the polls. But
right.
I'm going to get husband to mark the ballot.
I know that
this year,
when I vote, I have to go in. It doesn't matter if I have my cane or not. And of course, I always have my cane. But I have to, when I say my name to register in, I have to say I want to use the voting machine. And
that's,
they flag
what I
my
told.
So because you're right, because if they do issue you a ballot, then you have, you know, it's more cumbersome. And a very long time ago, back in the 80s, I used to work at the polls, and what my job was, this was the lever kind, you know, remember those way back when?
The lever machine, yes.
Yeah. So my job was when the person stepped inside the little polling booth and pulled the curtain, I pushed a button on the side of the machine because my tally and the tally that was voted in the machine, those numbers had to be identical. And then the other poll judges would come around periodically, maybe once an hour, whatever, I don't know. And they would have to check those numbers to make sure they were identical. Now we don't do that anymore in the same way, but what I'm saying is there are many cross, you know, counting things. So if they pass out so many ballots, they have to have that many, you know, voter responses.
Well, that's good to know.
Things like that, yeah.
Because I sure don't want my vote thrown away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think ask of your elections board, you know, ask some questions of those before you go to the polls, maybe.
Okay.
Because your county could differ, and your county might be different from another county. I don't know, you know.
Okay. Do we have members who are blind who work at the polls? And if so, what do they do?
They're... are a few, in some states, there are a few places where blind people can actually work at the polls. There is, well, we're trying to, in many states, get the, all of the stuff that the poll workers use, made accessible so that blind people can volunteer to be poll workers and do the same work that everybody else does. And like I say, there are a few places that that can happen, not here in Texas. I don't know about Alabama, but we all need to be working at that as well.
Okay. Is this Norm speaking?
This is Glenn Crosby.
Glenn Crosby. Hey, it's Carol Braithwaite.
Yes, Carol.
We met and had a great time one time
over in Alabama.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
We have four more people with their hands raised. I don't mean
Let's
to be
rude. Okay.
Miss Mary, you asked to unmute. There
Hello,
you go. You're
can you
unmuted
hear me?
Now. Yes, you're unmuted now.
Thank you. Again, I want to thank you for the presentation. It's been excellent. This question goes back to some of the pain travel. So it doesn't have to be directed to the voting right now, or is
No, you can ask whatever. Go ahead. Pain travel. Let's go.
Yes, let's
go.
All
right. So let's take ourselves back to the very beginning times, okay? And we're just losing our vision for those of you that lost it in your later years or sometime after you had vision. The support you had around you, the people who were praying for you, what did it take to finally say, you know what, I'm blind and I need to go on with my life? Can some of you share your experience there? And I know there are other hands raised.
As a mobility instructor, I mean, it's funny because I had it from, I was born with a disease. And so I didn't know until I was an adult that I would lose it as an adult. But I think what you have to think about is what do you want to do in life that you can, I think you have to ask yourself these questions. What am I not able to do now? And if there's things that you want to do that you can't do because of possible the limitation of understanding that you can do it, that's when I think you have to reach out. And a lot of times, sometimes the professionals, we hope that the doctors and stuff like that would give you this kind of information, but I would say that many times they're not even aware or they don't care about it. I've seen a lot of in very unsympathetic doctors who just said, now you're a tax write-off, go home. And for the most part, I mean, it's really hard because, I mean, you obviously, if you're going through this, you're not necessarily thinking clearly. Don't realize that there is life after dark and it doesn't have to be, sitting in a chair being waited on the rest of your life. There is greater options out there and hopefully people can get a hold of the National Federation of the Blind and get some training. And hopefully, and granted, not everyone has that. It's hard to say. I mean, everyone has a different take on it. I'm sure, Mr. Crosby has a different thought about this matter. But I just thinking that you have to ask yourself these questions, because all things are possible when you have the proper training and education, but you don't really have that in the beginning. And so you are able to continue to do it. Sorry, I'm just running in circles here. Anybody else want to answer
no,
this?
No, that's
question?
Good.
Well, when the people go blind at just about any age, especially after adulthood, there is an adjustment period, and very often people become depressed during those times and so on. But if you're fortunate, you might find a capable blind person or something, and usually you might find other blind people, but they haven't had any training either. So that's kind of a downward spiral. But if you're fortunate enough, you begin to make some decision. You get tired of being in that place where you're depending on everybody usually, and begin to reach out. And hopefully some people do find us. And obviously everybody participating in this retreat has found us. So that's a good thing. I will tell you that there's more people out in the hinterland, so to speak, who do not find us, and it's a shame that they live their lives in dependency, more or less. So, but it would be interesting to hear from some other people, and I know we have some other folks with their hands up, so that's what I have to say on that.
Thank you.
Linda, I've asked to unmute.
Hi, can people hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, thank you. So firstly, in respect to that, just the question that I didn't catch your name. I'm really glad that you asked that. That's a question that I ask all the time. And I wonder, how long does it take before I feel comfortable in resuming the skills that I have lost and that I no longer know how to complete? So that's one question, one thing. And I'm not, you know, I wonder sometimes, like I just said, how long does it take? I mean, is it 1 year? Is it 3 years? Is it 17 years? What is it? That's my take on that. I have been blind about 2 years, and I'm getting more comfortable with some things, but there are a lot of things that I still have no clue how to do. And so this is one of the things that I have no clue how to do, and which is why I raised my hand, which is, if you are in an elevator and you do not read Braille, how do you know which floor you're going to and which button to push?
Okay, it's great that elevators have Braille labels in them, but I date back, and I know Ruth does too, that when elevators didn't have any markings.
Yeah.
So on the rare occasion that I found myself at the elevator wanting to use it, and there was absolutely nobody else around, I pushed all the buttons. Very simple. Very simple.
Oh, gosh.
That way I could always know which floor I was on, and I could step off when I needed to, okay? but usually in a bank of elevators, there are people either waiting, or there will be somebody on the elevator that you board, and most often they'll ask you what floor you want. But if they don't, ask somebody, would you kindly push so-and-so? And they'll do it. They'll almost always do it. And so, therefore, you can navigate elevators easily without reading Braille. I will say that learning to read basic Braille, just this simple first 10 letters of our Braille alphabet, will help you with elevator labels.
Another thing you can do is, a lot of them do have raised prints, so if you can feel the raised print numbers. The other thing that I do is, because sometimes I'm on an elevator and it stops and I don't know if it's my floor or somebody, because the other person's gotten off. If you put your hand outside the door on the right-hand side, that metal ledge, there's a large, and it's about usually 2 to 2.5, 3 inch, and it'll give the number of the floor. So I just stick my right hand out on the elevator, you know, on the edge of the door there thing, and you can read the number, because it's big. It's like 3 inch, you know, like I said, 2.5 to 3 inches big, and it'll say number 6 or 7 or whatever floor you're on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You can get a sound cue. The elevator might bing, bing, you know, and you count the bings.
Right.
We also have Miss Sharon. Well, just one second. I asked her to unmute.
Well, voting. I didn't know the ballots could be a different size. Where I go, the person knows me, so she automatically says, we'll turn off the visual screen. And then they show me where the box is, and I put the ballot in the box. What I worry about with all the skepticism going on is when I pick somebody on that machine, is it really picking who I hit that select key on? I assume it is. And, you know, I don't know with electronics if they can sway or not, but I remember the day back in the 70s and when you went to vote, if you went by yourself, you had to go into the booth with a Democrat and a Republican if you needed help voting. And I always thought
that that is true. And the National Federation of the Blind went to work and got that rule changed so that we could take the person of our choice into the booth with us.
But do we know the real accuracy of the machines?
Well, we don't. As far as I know, the machines are accurate. But let me answer your question this way. Ever how accurate or inaccurate they are, they're the same for us. So either they're very accurate, they're very accurate for us. Mm-hmm. And if they're inaccurate, they are inaccurate for us.
Gotcha. I wondered if that was the way if that was the case earlier. Then I get nervous if it takes me too long, but I finally found the speed button. And then I wrote down how all the buttons work. So,
all right, there you go.
Okay, thank you.
Surely.
Maybe I should just clarify what I think happened in Maryland is that the ballots are a standard size when you put, you know, and that's what comes out of the machine. But in 2016, the people in the state, decided to have enlarged print ballots so they could put more material on the ballot instead of having multiple sheets have bigger print pages. I think that's what happened. So I'm not saying in every case the ballots are different sizes, but we have had that issue here in Maryland is what I am saying.
Ms.
And we
Judy,
may still have it.
Miss Judy also has her hand raised. Miss mm-hmm. Ruth?
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hi.
I love voting. I did it the first time electronically from home and printed it, and I mailed it last night. So
yay.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. This is it's just 2 days ago in Minnesota that
right,
we got
right.
the opportunity to do it. They hadn't started it until 2 days ago. So a lot of people have already voted, so they can't do what I did. but I do want to say a little bit about voting. First of all, if you can figure out and you know for sure what job you can do if you volunteer at the polls, don't wait to be asked, volunteer. Now they may say, oh, I'm sorry, it's just not going to work. And you can decide how badly you want to fight about that and whether you can get help from a supervisor. If you are not sure that you can do it, then you really aren't ready to do it because they don't need someone volunteering who needs their help. You know, you got to be able to do whatever it is you say you can do. I know we've had blind volunteers here in Minnesota and I'm sure other places. The thing about the size of the ballot is that I'm not sure how many different kinds of machines there are in this country, at least 7 or 8, I think. And if you are, most places for many years used and are still using the auto mark. And if you are using the auto mark, then your ballot will look like everybody else's, even though they are not putting it into a machine. They're going into a voting booth where they stand and they write on it. You use the auto mark and it fills in the ovals for you. If people really wanted to, they probably can tell the difference, but most people aren't going to work that hard at it. And then you put your ballot in the same machine as everyone else's. The people who make the auto mark are no longer doing so. And they came out with a machine to replace it. And that's when one of the places where we got in trouble with the skinny ballot, because they did not take into consideration that we wouldn't like that. Mm-hmm. And it looks different.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, if the machine, we needed a paper trail here. The only time it would matter about the ballots looking different is if there were a recount, because the machine is tabulating the ballots and mostly they never look at them if there's enough of a margin where there isn't a recount. So there are a few times when it might matter, but mostly it wouldn't. But we've gotten past that now and all our ballots are the same size. And I don't know if that helps. It's very important to be active in the NFB and ask your state president, what are we doing about voting here? What are we using? And, you know, make sure you have a voice in it. I'm done.
I just want to let you guys know that it is about 18 till.
Okay.
And I also want to say to Miss Janie, I do not see your assistant for the next hour in the list. If you could have them raise their hand, or maybe they're not here yet, so that we can get them promoted so they can easily assist you.
Do you have other questions? Anybody?
Let's see.
I have some more stories.
No one else has their hand raised, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
Might be time for a story.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you already forget your story?
No, I haven't forgotten them. I'm just trying to find one right quick.
Oh, we have a hand raised.
Okay, there we go.
Mr. Crosby, I just wanted to mention, you sound a lot like Fred Schroeder. Every time I keep hearing you talk, you're related. You're obviously the husband of Norma, right?
I am her other half. I am the first gentleman of Texas.
Yes.
And I'm sorry that, Fred, I'm sorry that people confuse me with Fred, because I know he would consider that an insult.
Oh, no, he wouldn't. He's
no,
fired,
he wouldn't.
I'm sure. Sorry, go ahead with the question.
We have a question?
I asked Linda to unmute, but she might be having, there we go, I think.
There we go. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi. thank you. I was wondering if somebody could go over step by step, inch by inch, how to go up and down the escalator.
All right. First of all, do you know how to approach an escalator?
Carefully.
Well, there's that. The first thing a person needs to know about escalators is if they are running, you will hear them before you get to them, or you should, unless it's so noisy around that it's being drowned out. So you will want to carefully use your cane, carefully approach, and as was mentioned earlier this morning, you will find that grated metal plate in front of it. Your cane will let you know. You can hear it. When that occurs, you want to gently put your cane forward so you'll know if this thing is coming to you or going away from you. The next thing you want to know, if it's going away from you, that's the way you want it to be going. And then you want to find out if it's the up escalator or the down escalator. And you can do that in a couple of ways. You can actually do it with your cane, just by extending it out some and letting the steps will tell you if they're going up or down. But if you don't want to do it that way, or if your cane to the side, find where the side rail is, the belt is running, you could gently lay your hand on the belt, and if you let your hand go just a little forward, you will discover if the escalator is going up or down. If that's the one you want, use your cane, and I keep my hand on the belt. I don't lean on it, but I keep it on there. But I use my cane and I carefully step onto the escalator, and it's not a problem. Keep my cane, a couple of steps in front of me, which is either up or down, so that when you reach the other end of the escalator, the cane will begin to level out and you will know when to step off. Now, that's as many steps as I can work into it.
How about, how do you know when to hop on it, whether it's going up or down? You know, like, how do you judge how far?
I judge it with my cane. Okay, listen to this part. Once I put my hand on the belt, I place my cane in front of me on the steps. That's how you know when to step on.
Okay. So meaning if it's too far ahead of you, then you need to step. You
should practice it. It's simple. It's real easy. And you know, all these things take practice. None of them come without effort. But just practice it. In fact, you'll have fun. If you find a set that goes up and down, ride it up, then make the U-turn and ride the other one down. And just keep doing it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You know, Linda, I think it's like, I don't know if you drove a car, but if you did, you know, you went to driver's ed and they taught you how to do things, but you had to, you know, some things were harder than other things. You had to practice them, you know, like that, making that left-hand turn or, you know, whatever it might be, or judging distancing from to slow the car down or whatever it might be. And it's kind of like that. When you lose vision and you're trying these new skills, it's kind of like learning to drive again, because you gotta do it. And it may take a few times. You know, don't worry if every time it's not as successful as you would have liked it to be, because it will get easier and it will get better, but it does take, you know, just doing it.
But with care, you will not fall. You know, you won't fall.
Yeah.
With care, you won't fall. And you know, you can have as much fun learning how to ride up and down an escalator as a kid does. So if you find a set, just go ride them up and down until you get tired of it.
We have another hand raised, Miss Camille. Let's see. There we go.
I'd like to address the escalator question.
Sure.
When you have your cane on the step, your cane will rise with the step, and you will feel that. And as it goes up, you can judge the heights that your cane has risen, and that will tell you roughly where the next step is. So when your cane has gone up about probably 4 inches, you know that it's time to start moving your foot forward to catch the next step. Likewise, when you get up at the top, you'll feel the step flatten out. When the step flattens out, it's time to start stepping forward. I hope that's helpful.
Thank you.
All right, it's 10 till.
I would like to, if there's no more hands at the moment right now, I don't think.
I don't see any.
There's a person's phone number I've been seeing for a couple of days. I have absolutely no idea who they are. It starts with 602.
That could be Jerry McGinty. What's the rest of it? 602 is a person in New Jersey, actually, believe it or not.
Okay, I wonder if that was the, sorry, I'm getting my phone here.
I think it's Jerry McGinty. I don't remember the next part of her number, though.
I'd have to look. I could do that.
Sorry,
I can try and get it for you real quick.
Yeah.
576-602-576.
Yep.
And 5356.
That's it. That's Jerry McGinty.
McGinty.
G-E-R-I-M-C-G-I-N-T-Y.
Thank you very much.
Sure, honey.
Pretty quiet afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a quiet afternoon.
All right.
Hi.
602 has their hand. Oh, okay.
This is Jerry McGinty.
Hi, Jerry.
Yes. We have confirmation. Thank you.
Yes, we all systems go. Houston, we're off. No.
That, Danny was right.
I think Vincent Dolores has been
for me.
Yep. We ask Vincent to unmute.
Great.
Good afternoon.
Unmute,
thank
sir.
You. Since we have a little time and there are no more questions or comments, I'd like to venture on travel. I travel constantly and internationally as well. So there are a couple of tricks that I have no shame in using. One of them is that people that require more time to board the plane are given priority. So even though I don't have a first class or a diamond level or whatever level, by getting priority boarding, I am assured that I will have room for my carry-on right above my seat. So I always use it. And that also gives me time. I always, when I select my seat, I make sure that I know how many rows there are between my seat and the restroom area, and also where the nearest exit gates are located. So I have all that information in advance, and I don't delay anybody that is traveling. And when I'm traveling internationally, I usually use Newark, so I know the layout of Newark, and I can get to immigration, you know, fairly quickly, so I don't need help there. But when I'm traveling internationally, I've always have found it useful to request assistance, and whether it's somebody that guides me or somebody that takes me in a wheelchair, I have no shame whatsoever, because it puts me in the front of the line. I don't have to wait for, you know, dozens or hundreds of people to go through immigration. So it helps, it expedites my travel. And I was going to say one more. Oh, and the other thing is that whenever I travel, I bought a backpack, an army type, a big backpack a long time ago. And that's what I use when I travel. Even when I'm gone for a couple of weeks, I do not mind washing my, you know, some of my clothes, etc. Some of them I may send to the laundry, whatever. But I'd rather have that and not having to depend on my bag being checked, and if I'm going to many cities, the possibility of it getting lost or whatever. And it also allows me, since it's a backpack, I have use of both hands when moving around. So one is my cane, the other one is free, so I can hang on to rails, I can touch to whatever it is, and it gives me freedom of movement and more confidence to move around. That's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you.
How are we doing on time?
2:54.
Well, we still have a few. We have time for a question or two if there, are, if anybody has any.
I think we have one. We have a couple people.
Sure.
Mary, you should be unmuted now.
Hello again.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking the call. So for a person who is newly blind and wants to continue to work on the computer, what are some suggestions some of you can make to make that process a little bit easier so that they can learn where the keys are located and how JAWS is working? Because I've been working with, in that area, and we have used raised dots to emphasize the dots on the F and the J and other keys that are familiar.
How many lessons have you had? Are you like pretty brand spanking new to JAWS?
The person is new to JAWS.
So
of you use JAWS?
Most everybody probably on this call.
Good.
Yeah. And the screen
all
reader
use computers.
I would say the bulk of us use computers and iPhones. Yeah. And if you put keyboard help on, that would hold down the insert key and press the number 1 in the number row, then your client or whoever it is can touch all the keys and it'll tell her a little bit about what they do. And then they'll get more familiar with the keyboard. And then remember to take it off. It's a toggle.
A toggle. So
that's that's the first.
Insert F1.
No.
Insert on and number and insert F1.
Not F1. No. Insert
and
the number 1.
Insert 1. Yes,
right.
That makes sense.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and then thank you. And then insert 1 to toggle off.
That's right. Insert 1 puts it on and takes it off. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing I would do.
Okay.
Yep. And then there's lots of other things. If you,
a lot of fundamentals. There's a lot of fundamentals that a lot of people seem to miss sometimes. Like insert W, insert H, insert F1. But the insert 1, and you don't want to boggle the mind with too many things because it gets overwhelming quickly. That insert 1 is a perfect. Perfect beginning, especially if they're reassociating themselves with the computer. And you don't need to put dots on every key because there's lots of ways to identify the keyboard in a lot of different landmarks, especially if they're using a standard keyboard that has the 6-pack above the arrow keys and the function keys are separated. And they have to get used to using their hands, to find those things. And it really can be a wonderful, fun experience. And there's lots of help out there, for it.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure.
No more questions?
I wanted to mention, there were years ago elevators that would open without the doors would open without the elevator being there. So if you are boarding an elevator, especially in an older building, do make sure and swipe the space with your cane to make sure that you're stepping into an elevator and not into an elevator shaft.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Wow.
Tap that cane. Make sure you hear something.
I think Helen has a question.
Welcome, Donna Myrick. I see that you're here.
Helen, go ahead. I think you'll be the last one before this next segment starts.
Jerry, are you doing host duties today?
Yep. It's been my all week. Go ahead.
Okay. This is just on the light side because it's the senior convention, and I think it will be something you will like. If you've heard it before, I'm sorry. There are two couples walking down the street. Two women in front, the men in back. And the man said to the other, he said, "We went to the nicest restaurant. We really liked the food." And the guy said, "Well, what was it called?" "Oh, I don't remember. What is that flower? It has a long stem and thorns and it smells good." And the guy said, "Oh, you mean a rose?" And he said, "Yes. Rose, where did we go to dinner last week?"